Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Pastor and Evangelist White. Please go with us to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, thank you for allowing us to live to see another day. Please touch every person under the sound of my voice, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Please bring clarity and appreciation to your holy word. We love you and we need you. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people. Good morning, Pastor White.
Good morning, Evangelist. How you doing?
I am blessed, sir. Highly favored, on top and still rising. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Got
amen.
This little cough.
Amen. Come against that cough right now.
Praise
in the name
the Lord.
Of Jesus.
Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you, too. The topic that God has given us today is God is separating.
Mm.
Now, not only is that just such a good word for this time of day, but when I looked up the Webster Dictionary, it defines separating as the root word separate, which means to set apart, to keep apart, or making a difference from. Now, Pastor, what God was giving me, we're going to be going actually to Matthew 13. And for the sake of time, can you just, I'm going to actually read Matthew 13 and 25, but then I just want you to kind of give an overview of it all because we're not going to be able to hit every single scripture. So Matthew 13 and 25 says, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." So this is actually the parable of the wheat and the tares. Can you give just an overview about what had taken place and what the word is talking about in there?
Well, just dealing with humanity,
yes.
and the church itself, there's going to be times where we're not going to be able to pick up on everything. We are in a spiritual battle,
yes.
And there is an enemy, you know, and sometimes this enemy is able to creep in and to be able to sow seeds and to do things in the midst of the saints,
yes.
That a lot of times is not going to be that easily detected.
Mm-hmm.
But God is still in control.
That's right.
But has men slept?
That's right.
You know, the enemy was able to come in, and he was able to sow seed. And when that seed grown with the wheat, they realized that the tares sprung up as well.
Yeah.
And while men slept, it's almost like when Jesus went and to pray, and
yeah.
He told some of his various disciples to wait there.
Watch
mm-hmm. while he was praying.
Amen.
And while he went to pray,
they went to sleep.
You see what I'm saying? And Jesus knew that it was almost time for him to leave, and he told him to worry about it. But he said, you know, can't y'all not just sit up for a little while and tarry?
Yes.
Wow. So sometimes just in the human part of us in dealing with this, the enemy is able to come in and distract, but not to be in despair, because there is going to be a day of judgment in which Jesus is going to come and there's going to be a separation.
Yes.
But we need to understand that in the midst of us, within family, within church, you know, the devil is also busy, and he is sowing different things in the midst of the saints. And basically, this is kind of like what's going on here.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. You know, what God was giving me was the enemy is Satan, and the tares are also called darnels, and they're false converts. The tare was a weed that resembled wheat, but did not come to fruition, did not come to completion. And the good seed sprung up, and it brought forth fruit again, emphasizing that true converts produce fruitful lives. By contrast, false converts produce no lasting fruit. Now, when the servants had saw this, they asked him, "Do you want us to just, you know, pull it all up?"
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it said no, because to uproot them would be to damage the entire crop. And the implication seems to be that too much cutting of people's genuineness of faith may damage the save before, you know, the ones among you are exposed.
let both grow together indicates that there will always be some false professors among true Christian believers until the time of harvest or judgment, exactly what you were saying.
Uh-huh.
And if we can just go to starting with the 37th verse, where when Jesus was actually speaking, he was given an explanation of the parable of the wheat and the tares that were explained. And I'm going to start, I'm just going to read real quick verse 37 through 43. It says, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Mm.
You know, Pastor, one of the things that I truly appreciated about this was when it said that the tares resembled the wheat. And in the house of God, that is what's taking place. Even in the world, if we can just say it, everybody now is a Christian. Everybody says, you know, and so you really truly know who's of God, not only when fire is put to it, but when you start seeing fruit. You don't necessarily have to have the prophet come in and tell you. You can have the discerning of the Holy Ghost on the inside to be able to see, but it's not our job.
Right.
To judge, it's not our job, because we don't know man's heart. Only God does. That's why God is going to do the separation. The thing that was so great for me to notice is that they will be among us.
Yeah.
So you cannot cut them out. There's a reason why they have to grow in together. And what happens when the wheat was growing in with the tares, they were intertwining, you know. So if you pulled it, you would wind up pulling the wheat or the tares, but you would wind up pulling good wheat too.
That's right.
And so only God can do such a delicate separation where he doesn't tear any of the wheat.
Right. But just to add to that, there is a difference that we today are able to see,
yes,
among those who are wheat and those who are tare.
Yes.
And it's going to go according to their belief and unbelief.
That's right.
You see, a lot of times, you know, you don't have to do too much of anything, because, you know, the Bible lets us know that, especially us who are sheep,
yes,
that we know the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
You see?
Yes.
And when you know the voice of the Lord, there is an obedience to what he tells you to do. You know, goats are very hard-headed, you know what I mean, unruly.
Yes.
Unruly,
yeah,
animals,
mm-hmm,
whereas you have those loving, patient animals who are sheep,
mm-hmm,
that easily follow.
Yeah.
But when you are struggling with unbelief,
right,
you see what I'm saying? You separate yourself.
You become rebellious.
It's an inner battle that you're going through within yourself,
yes,
because you cannot hear the voice of the Lord.
Mm.
You cannot really find your way. So really, you separate, and you easily are able to distinguish between those who are followers of Christ.
That's
and
right.
Those who are not.
That's right.
You see, so there is a discerning a spirit that comes with it. But a lot of times we think that we have to go out and try to look and poke and screen,
yeah,
people.
And try to tell them to leave.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is live the life and be the example,
right,
that God has called you to be. And then it's something about what light and darkness can dwell together in the same,
yes,
place. You know what I'm saying? What fellowship do we have one with another?
Okay, hold on. You all up in my scripture. I was just about to go to actually 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start with verse 14. That's 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, starting with 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And then 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And what you were just saying, I said, wow, because that's so true. Darkness, I mean, light drives darkness out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing about it, whether they grow together or not, you know, in the end, God is going to do the separation, but oftentimes they separate themselves, because when you live a life of holiness and righteousness and you just stay sweet and you just stay nice, my grandma used to always say, sometimes you got to love the hell out of people, and no cussing. I'm talking about the devil that's within them. You got to love on them enough to get that up out of them.
Yeah.
But it's God who is supposed to do the separation, and what's happening is oftentimes we are trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes I notice, and even myself, I can speak on myself, we get impatient when we see the process of some people, but we forgot how patient someone was with us when we was going through a process.
That's right.
You know, but one of the things that I like is that when you have light, you know, you're able, just like you said, as a sheep, you're able to hear the voice of God, and that's why God says, my sheep know my voice, and that of a stranger they will not follow. So when you're following the voice of God, you're lining up with the word of God, and because you are trying to walk this accordingly and so softly so that you can only hear Jesus' footsteps, you really don't have time to be trying to look around and figure out, you know, who's really what. You're trying to make sure your walk is supposed to be like it is.
And another thing that you got to be careful of when you're trying to uproot things is that you don't know where people are at in their faith.
Right.
They could just be, you know, someone that is just a babe in Christ right now.
Yes.
And we may feel that, you know what, that y'all should be, you know, eating some meat.
Yeah.
And you're still unskilled in the word.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we count them as being tear.
Yes.
When really they just need patience and love.
That's
in
right.
order to get to a place where they can grow.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things that we just do not know. That's why the Bible also says that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who
spiritual.
Are spiritual, and
yes.
that's the first thing, we have to make sure that we are spiritual and that we restore them in a spirit of meekness
considering ourselves. That's right.
So it's a very delicate thing, but there's some things that we have to leave to God
that's
and
right.
allow him to go ahead and weed out.
That's
now,
right.
a tree is known by its fruit.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? There's going to be some things that we are going to have to address and that we're going to have to address right away because we cannot allow certain things, but it's going to be the fruit.
Yes.
It's going to be the works. It's going to be the works of disobedience that's going to clearly distinguish that this is not of God, and we have to deal with it.
Yes, and you know, Pastor, I like where the word read, but be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness. Now, we are supposed to minister and witness to the unsaved and try to win them over to Christ. But what I'm noticing is a lot of us that are saying we're Christians, we compromise our holiness and standards of God, and we start trying to, and the world starts winning us over. We start, instead of bringing them over on this side, they're bringing a lot of us over on that side because we're entertained by the things that they're doing, and we want to have that kind of fun, and we want to watch what they watch and do what they do, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a separation between holiness and unholiness, and oftentimes what takes place is you see a lot of saints, and I'm not saying that we can't be friends with people who are, but the Bible says that. It's not Kalisha 101. It's what the Word of God says. What it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then it almost asks a question, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness?
Right.
That's a question that you have to ask yourself. We're not talking about ministering and witnessing. I get that. I'm talking about in the fellowship, you know, because after a while, you know, you become what you are. You are the company you keep. And if you around people who cuss and constantly cuss and disregard the place that you're trying to go within God, keep on hanging around them. Pretty soon you're going to catch it, and you're going to start cussing, and you're going to start doing. So what do you say about that, about the unevenly yoked and with the believers? And
I believe that, you know, when we look at the fact that Jesus also sat and he broke bread among sinners, I understand that. But Jesus had a purpose, and Jesus knew the heart of people.
Okay.
He knew that he knew where people were at when they actually were just lost.
Yes.
And they just needed to be loved on.
Yes.
And then you have those who have really gotten in league with the devil, and you have some that just says, you know what, we are not going to believe, we are not going to follow, and you know that they do not have a desire to really want to, you know, have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that you have to really separate yourself from when we talk about those unbelievers in that capacity. But we have to be available. The anointing in us have to definitely be able to be around certain ones.
Exactly.
To give them an example.
That's right.
Of
to
who
follow.
Jesus Christ really is.
That's right.
But, you know, we are not to, you know, get caught up in the lifestyle that they are caught up on.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And then use that as a sign of, you know, I think that we go overboard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of times Christians today feel like, you know, we have to, in order to win them over, we have to compromise so much of who we are in order to win them over,
mm-hmm.
instead of it being the other way around.
And you know, Pastor, what you said is so right, because Jesus knew people's heart. And he was able to, like you said, sit among the sinners and break bread and so forth, and he would get down to your level of understanding, but he never compromised his standard with Christ, with God. He never, you know, compromised his holiness. He made sure about his words and you know, and different things and so forth. So it's not that you can't do it, but sometimes what I'm noticing is that a lot of people, Christians who are still babes in Christ, are trying to be in positions with different, and you can't because you are not strong enough to be around that. You know, that's the same thing that you just got delivered from, and that's where people, you know, in the drug world, they have relapse if they come around the same people who used to do the same things that they're trying to get off of.
Right.
It's the same thing with Christians that are babes, you know, and babe does not mean that you're young. Babe means that you are just getting
skilled.
Yes,
hard.
Very, very, thank you. And so I think a lot of times people are thinking, well, I'm old, you know, I'm not a babe, I'm you know, I got gray hair, or I'm this age, or I have these kids, or I have that. It does not mean you are skilled and learned in the Word of God, because the Word is what's going to be, is what you're going to need on the inside when you come against certain things that are going to try to get you to compromise.
That's right. Amen. Good, you know, good point. You know, but I think with the whole thing with separating, it
God
is just the, it's just the church being recognized as the church.
Come on.
You know, we are the church, and sometimes when we don't know what the mission of the church is, or who is the church, you know, how are we being represented in the community?
Mm-hmm.
What are we offering those who are lost?
That's right.
When they coming in, to set difference.
That's right.
Or to give them something that is just too awesome for them to pass up.
That's right.
And we have to give them God in a real way. We have to give them, you know, we have to bring God back into our churches, because I feel like a lot of them, we're just a social gathering place.
Yes.
And the power of God is not operating to where it is able to get these folks that are unbelievers or folks that are possible tares.
Yes.
You know, but then again, like I said, the church is so messed up nowadays. We don't know the difference between those who are tares and those who are just babes and just need to be loved on.
Yeah.
So I think our job is just to love people
right where they are
and just to be an example.
Yes.
In our walk.
That's right. And, you know, I like what you just said, Pastor, to be an example. That's what's happening with a lot of churches. Leadership is not being the example. So what do tares or even sheep have to follow?
Yeah.
You know, you have to be an example. You can't preach something you don't live. you can't teach something you don't do. And so, I mean, you can, but then you become a hypocrite. People, I believe, are looking for something real. They're looking for something authentic. You know, they're not looking for people, you know, and when you said the separation, yeah, there's a difference between the power of God and magic. There's a difference between being lucky and being blessed.
Yeah.
People are looking for something real. I'm not looking for you to perform, but I'm looking for something that's going to speak to what's going on and taking place on the inside.
Yeah.
And I need you to show me in the Word, you know, and we're not doing that. We're not showing them in the Word of God. We're showing them in our own Word.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing them in what we think and how we see it and how we interpret it. And so what happens is like you said, the house of God is not having the true discerning of knowing when it's really a tear and when it's really, a sheep, or, you know, just being a little stubborn or rebellious and having to, you know, get a little whooped by the Holy Ghost, you know, to get in order and so forth. And so what happens is because God is not doing the separation and we are doing the separation, a lot of people are leaving the house of God. We're hurting people. We're wounding people. We're doing everything that we're not supposed to do, and that's not what God intended it to do. That's why only He can do the separation. That's why I know being a pastor, you have to have a skillful hand in order to deal with God's sheep, and only God truly has the best skillful hand on dealing with all of us. He knows exactly every area. He knows just what we see sometimes on the outer and what we pick up, but God knows the heart.
Yeah, and I think that this separate, there's so much going on today.
Mm.
You know, when you look at America today and we look at the, you know, America not even wanting to embrace Christian values anymore or not be recognized as a Christian country anymore.
Yes.
Because we are bought into so much of this diversity and wanting to accept everything. And I think that this thing of toleration, I believe it's a spirit.
It's a
evil spirit,
yes.
You know, but it's a very slick one.
Very.
You know, because now it presents itself as you being a type of spiritual person if you can tolerate different things your midst. If I can tolerate it, then that means that I'm a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't, you know, so it's about not really calling out sin for what it really is.
That's right.
But it's about saying, you know what, if I can tolerate it, if I can tolerate this style and if I can tolerate that, then I'm showing you that I'm a stronger person.
Mm.
So we allow these different things to take place and to exist us and really classify it as something okay and something good, you know. So really the Word of God they're trying to shut the Word of God down by this facade of what's spiritual, but really is a trick of the enemy.
That's right.
It's really a trick to try to get the church to shut down.
And
you know
what, Pastor, it's exact, you know, I'm just looking at the times and the season, and even those of us, if I can just be real, you know, with Christianity, I used to enjoy watching Empire. I'm just going to put it out there. And you knew that it was some raunchiness in the beginning, you know, you knew the different things, but now this season, it's then went so in your face, but we have to wonder, why is there still a desire for us, to say we are really of God, to keep turning that mess back on? And it's on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. The devil knows we got Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, and we racing through Bible study because we want to get home to see what happened in the end. But what the enemy is doing is he's bringing so much, it's such a boldness now that we compromise, and you're right with the tolerance. They want us to tolerate, you know, homosexuality, and I'm not, and I won't. I stand on the Word of God, and that's how it's going to be, and it's not to, you don't hate the person, you dislike and hate the sin, and you're not pointing nobody out, but I'm not going to. See, that's what happened even in the house of God. We compromise. Well, you know, okay, well, God loves everybody, so come on, you can come up, you can play the piano, come on, you can sing, and before you know it, you don't let that spirit loose in your church, and then you're wondering why everything's going chaos and crazy. It's because we compromise. We don't really separate. There's a separation that we're supposed to do, too. We're supposed to separate ourselves from certain things. We're supposed to witness and minister, but there is a separation that we're supposed to have, and sometimes I believe we try to leave everything to God,
right.
You know, and we know right from wrong, those of us who really,
right.
You know.
And sin is sin. It's not about beating up any particular lifestyle or anything like that, but it is about really saying, look, God has a word.
That's right.
That he has left us
to fall back.
And to follow.
That's right.
And that's what we preach and teach, and that's what we have to live.
That's right.
And you know, and so it's very important that we understand that this separation that is taking place, really people are separating themselves from God. We don't really have to do it. It is the disobedience to the word of God.
That's right.
That is first. It's allowing you to see that people are separating.
That's right.
This country today is separating itself.
Yes.
But what it's doing
Jesus.
Is not a bad thing. I kind of like it because it makes it hard to just come and blend in and call yourself a Christian.
That is true.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to just call yourself a Christian unless you really are one.
That's right.
Because now Christians is not really the most favorable a group to associate yourself with.
That's right.
So what it really does, it says that, you know what, if I'm a Christian, I'm a real Christian.
Mm.
Because if I'm doing it just in association with the country I live in.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? You might not be looked upon as the favorite.
Yes.
So God is doing a lot of this separating too already.
Mm.
Because we're coming, this is the last days.
That's right.
So all the stuff that we see coming up in our face is so that it can be easily distinguished.
Mm.
Because we are going to, on the day of judgment, you are going to be without excuse.
That's right.
You're not going to be able to say when you allow different things to exist in your midst, you're not going to be able to say, you know what, well, I didn't know. It was, you know, no, it was right in your face.
And, you know, and there's a difference between ministering and teaching certain people and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We entertain often because we still like it too. And so we try to say, well, I'm doing it to help this person, but no, you're really doing it because you want to be a part of that too. And you're right. We're going to be without excuse. We're going to be without excuse as far as what we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it. And I just ask God to have mercy.
Amen.
Have mercy on us all. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Pastor?
Pray. This is a time of doing self-examination.
Yes.
This is a time for people to really look at their own personal relationship with God and ask yourself, am I really a devout Christian?
Oh, Jesus.
Am I really, or am I a hypocrite?
Come on.
Am I totally sold out for God?
Jesus.
Or am I just, you know what I'm saying,
checking the box,
or am I just doing this thing by association, or am I doing this thing just because, or am I really, you know, one that is diligently seeking the Lord for answers,
the
truth?
That's right.
And that's what I think everybody needs to do. Don't go by it on just because you're in a certain group or a certain class. Make this thing personal.
That's right.
Make this thing personal. That's what's going to come down on the day of judgment.
That's right.
When
your
we
own
are
personal.
Separated.
Ooh,
when
Jesus.
You are separated and you got to stand before God.
Yes.
And you on that day of judgment. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to be there but you.
Yes.
And you're going to have to give an account.
Yes.
You see? And heaven and hell is real.
Ooh, yes, it is.
And if it is, you know, we have a decision and a choice to make. And sometimes, you know, it's not about what we feel in our flesh that we want to do.
Yes.
It's about making the sacrifices to say, you know what, the word of God says that this is what I cannot do. It's not about what I feel. It's not about what I think. It's about what thus saith the Lord.
Amen. And that's why our motto is we will not compromise the word of God.
Amen.
For God we live and for God we will die.
Praise
well, that is all the time we have. We want to thank you for tuning in today to Food for Your Soul. We pray that you were able to receive God's holy word and it caused you to really pay attention to the signs of God separating some things and some people in your life. If God says the same, we will meet again next week at 8 a.m. I am your host, Evangelist White.
I'm Pastor White.
And we are signing out.
Praise the Lord.
God bless.